It'll be Brian Levin. He is director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism. We've gotten new data from the FBI this week. Released on Monday, we are learning that more hate crimes were carried out in the United States last year, with an uptick in incidents motivated by bias against Jews, Muslims, and LGBT people, among many others. And again, we welcome to the show to talk about this subject Brian Levin. He is director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism in San Bernardino, California. Brian, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so we got these new numbers released Monday, and I guess the immediate takeaway is that we did see more hate crimes carried out in the United States in 2016. So we had, what, 6,100 reports, incidents reported, rather, and that's up from 5,800 the year before. Brian, what's your immediate takeaway from these numbers?
Well, you know, we do a lot of research on this, and we independently collected hate crime police data from across the United States, and we had forecast that there would be a 4.9% increase with 6,137. There were 6,121, so it came in right on target with what we were forecasting. What I think is very interesting is we saw three things that drove the increase in 2016. And let me also say that for the limited number of jurisdictions that we have so far for 2017, at least in the largest cities, hate crimes are up in 2017 as well for the large cities. How that will mesh with the rest of the country, we'll see later. But that's something that's interesting. Illinois had a significant increase. Illinois was representative of one of the drivers that we've seen in why hate crimes went up in 2016. There were various large jurisdictions, Illinois with double-digit increases, over 20% in your state, New York State up 19%, Florida up about 33%, California up 11.2%. You get the idea. So there were certain large states that really drove a lot of this increase. And there were states that had declines. Texas had a decline. Tennessee had a decline. Other states declined as well. But some of these big, diverse states with major metropolitan areas like Illinois were part of the drivers of the increase. Two other things. A precipitous election time spike, which, interestingly enough, in the data that we got from Chicago, which was, you know, when we were crunching our data, the Midwest seemed to be somewhat immune from this big precipitous election time spike that affected much of the rest of the country. Give you an example. The fourth quarter of 2016 was up almost 26% over the fourth quarter of the year before. So an election time spike helped drive the numbers up. One last thing that drove the numbers up, and that was big double-digit increases against many groups that were vilified in socio-political discourse. What do I mean? Double-digit increases against Muslims, 19.5%, against Latinos, for instance, 44% increase against transgender, although some of that may be due to what we call reporting effect because it's a relatively new category for some parts of the country, and the FBI just recently added it. Anti-Latino hate crime up, and you know what else was up, which I thought was really interesting? Anti-white hate crime was up double digits. Hate crimes against Jews rose 3%, but much more in New York and New York City, as well as a lot of local increases that can, as a composite, drive numbers up. African-American hate crime was basically flat, down 0.3%, but still, even though African-Americans are about 13% of the population, they were about 28% of the targets, and that's lower percentage-wise than what it was some years ago. Conversely, anti-Muslim hate crimes hit their second highest number that we've had since modern record-keeping began about a quarter century ago. The highest number was in 2001 when we had over 480 hate crimes against Muslims reported. There were 307 last year, but hey, guess what? That means that's almost a doubling of what we saw just 2 years ago. And indeed, anti-Muslim hate crimes represent about 5% of all hate crimes. That's the highest that the anti-Muslim category has ever been, but Jews still are about the most targeted faith group with about 11%.
So, I mean, you guys study these numbers over at the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism. Do you have it boiled down to where you can point to specific things and say, yeah, this is probably what's driving these numbers, or is it more of a vague answer? I mean, do you have an answer for why this is happening?
That's a great question. We have some of it, what of an answer. Let me give an example. When President Bush spoke 6 days after 9/11 and spoke of tolerance, hate crimes dropped precipitously over the next 6 days. Depending on where you put the chronologic dividing line, somewhere between 47.5% and 66% over the next 6 days. And indeed, the following year, we saw a two-thirds decline. Conversely, President Trump, then candidate Trump, spoke 5 days after the San Bernardino terrorist attacks of December 2nd, 2015. In the next 5 days, we saw a precipitous spike, and then in the following year, we saw that increase as well. That being said, you know, there's a correlation does not equal cause, and what I would say to people is we have various national and international trends that impact. For instance, after terrorist attacks, backlash hate crimes go up, for instance, against Muslims or people who are thought to be Muslim. But you can also have in a local community a serial offender, a hate group, a neighborhood tension or a school conflict that can really drive the numbers up in each locality. What I like to say is, you know, looking at national hate crimes is looking at a centipede whose body is moving at different speeds. Different places go up or down at different times and have different subgroups. Let me give you just a quick example. New York City bucked the trend in 2015 of seeing an increase in anti-Muslim hate crimes. It hit in 2016. So similarly, California, we saw an increase in anti-Latino hate crime in 2015 while the rest of the country went flat. Well, this year we saw a double-digit increase. So not every jurisdiction follows the rest of the country, and indeed, demographic changes make a difference as well. Here in California, our increase in anti-Latino hate crimes when the rest of the country went flat was at a time when nationally the growth of Latinos in the population slowed dramatically, but in California, we tipped to become a Latino plurality state. So demographic changes, neighborhood tensions, national trends, backlashes, as well as it appears from our research, and we're going to be presenting this at the American Society of Criminology, that there does appear to be some correlation between statements by political leaders after terrorist attacks and whether or not hate crimes continue to go up or whether they go down.
Well, and talk about that. I mean, some of the basic findings from that, because, I mean, that makes sense that, you know, we look to our leaders in times of crisis to see, all right, how are they reacting? And then that can get portrayed and deflected onto the populace. But, I mean, what did you guys find?
Well, what we found, we looked at federal data right around the time of 9/11. And we saw this a very high increase in hate crimes in the days right after 9/11, and when President Bush spoke, it was almost like an immediate decline. Similarly, we had an increase in hate crimes after the San Bernardino attack in the next 5 days. We saw 8 anti-Muslim hate crimes that we counted on our own throughout the United States, and we tried to use FBI standards that these were actually criminal incidents.
Mm-hmm.
In the next 5 days after the Muslim ban proposal, anti-Muslim hate crimes went to 15, an 87.5% increase, and they included firebombings and a threat against a congressman. So not only did the numbers go up, but so did apparently the severity. We just got some data back from the feds, which we're going to be publishing soon, and the federal data confirmed our findings as well.
Let me ask you about reporting. Something that I've always thought about was whether or not all of the incidents of hate crimes actually make it to the point where the FBI has these numbers. I'm thinking of, you know, very rural areas where maybe there's not as much oversight, where a hate crime did occur, but it doesn't end up getting reported like that. Do you guys have any knowledge of that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And if you look, for instance, Mississippi only counted 7 hate crimes. Even Illinois, which in previous years was only counting in the double digits, and before that was counting in the triple digits, had an increase, but only to 111. To put that in perspective, the city of Boston reported more hate crimes than the whole state of Illinois. And Chicago, for instance, reported only double-digit increases, while its peers reported only double-digit numbers, rather. They also reported double-digit increase. But its peers, for instance, in L.A. and New York report over 200, while Chicago reported way less than 100.
Hmm. Let me ask you the million-dollar question here, and I guess this is where we'll end it. And I'm assuming if you had an exact answer for this, you'd probably win a Nobel. But is there a way to buck the trend of increasing numbers of hate crimes? Is there ever a golden solution where we know that if this was implemented, we would see a reduction in the number of hate crimes that are being reported each year?
Here's the thing you're going to say. You're going to say, we don't need a professor to tell us this. I could have figured that out myself, and you're right. Here's what we need. We need executive leadership, statements by leaders decrying this. We also need some kind of institutionalized response. We need in local communities, for instance, a structure where perhaps community leaders, the mayor, police officials, and private groups meet quarterly to discuss the problem. We also need model policies in various police departments and continuing training, particularly in those areas that, as you would say, are more rural and may not generate that many cases, but have someone who is trained and who's a liaison officer who can reach out to community, government people, and the rest. So it involves both philosophical statements by leaders, but also structurally, trainings, policies, and some kind of framework where law enforcement and community and government leaders meet regularly to go over these problems and have continuous training.
Yeah, there you have it. That again, Brian Levin, he is director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism, joining us from San Bernardino, California. Brian, it's been a pleasure, sir. Thank you for the insight.
Thank you. Go Cubs.
Hey, that's dangerous. We're a Cardinals affiliate around here, Brian.
Oh, my gosh. I just blew it. Hey, they're second in history for winning World Series, so I take it back.
There you go. We appreciate the Illinois knowledge, sir. That again, Brian Levin from the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism, joining us on the Afternoon Report.